Ingram Smith, Bud Elliott, back again for another episode of the Nolcast. Bud, this will be a very much an abridged preview for the Florida game. Want to thank this podcast, as we do with all ours, and thank our sponsors, Louisiana Hot Sauce, three simple ingredients, one fantastic product, and a really great partner that we've proud to be able to work with for 2 years in a row. Bud, this will be predominantly, almost exclusively, a preview of Florida State, Florida. We'll just begin the preview with maybe like a 30-second recap of the Delaware State game.
That's all you, buddy. I've still not watched that game, and I don't feel like my analysis on Florida State is lacking as a result. In fact, I totally forgot to DVR it, and also don't.
Yeah, I'm not regretting that either. Yeah, I can't claim to have seen all this game either in very, very limited amounts. Only takeaway from the game that I want to say is I was really happy for Ryan Green and the day that he had. That kid's worked his rear end off, has been a really good program kid, has helped a lot of kids that have passed him on the depth chart, and to see him get to score twice, particularly have a nice long run there, that was great to see, and I wish Ryan the best of luck, and happy to see Florida State be able to control, dominate a game, and move into this game with Florida with a win.
No, I can totally agree with that, man. I like Ryan Green a bunch. I like his family. I know his dad was just so excited on social media and you know, talking about how that was just, you know, you keep working and you keep grinding and you be a good person and you ask for God for help and you'll be rewarded. So, man, I was really happy to see that. You know, unlike the quarterback who didn't actually see it, but rim shot. Let's get into this this Florida preview here. And people can listen to this very quickly because I think it'll be under 15 or 20 minutes. So as you're heading to the game or as you're heading to Madison Social to watch the game, be sure to put this on and give it a listen before the show.
All right, bud. So we'll, as you said, we won't get too detailed here. One thing, and I think we should probably start the conversation with a conversation that thanks to your encouragement we've had throughout the year, and that is the just kind of woeful inability to stop the run at all, and we've had a solid
laugh. Is that time again?
We've had a solid laugh, and it may usher in this week's episode of where Florida stands on their per carry average against opponents.
Ingram, I've got some bad news, man. I think Florida might have figured out its run defense.
Yeah.
Now we were wrong. We thought UAB would give them a game, and Florida came out and actually played hard and decided apparently they're not going to quit on the year despite their obvious quitting against Missouri the previous week, but we've been tracking this all season. Ingram, Florida improved from 5.3 yards a carry to opposing running backs to 5.2 allowed. 13 carries, 25 yards for UAB's running back. So 13 for 25, that's 1.9 a carry. Florida on the year, 278 carries allowed to opposing backs, 1,440 yards, 5.2 a carry. This is my number one factor for the game, and that is Cam Akers getting loose for a couple long runs. I think if that happens, Florida State should win the game. And the vast majority of the evidence suggests that that should happen. We do have some fun facts, though, and we'll get to in a minute. But first, we should probably dispel this idea that Florida is a much better team at home. I'm not necessarily sure that's true. Now, Florida has definitely stopped the run better at home. They allowed 3.0 yards per carry to Vanderbilt's running backs, 3.9 to LSU's, 2.2 to Texas A&M's, and 1.9 to UAB's. But 6.3 to Tennessee. So that actually doesn't work there. Tennessee ripped him. Tennessee fired its coach. Vanderbilt's not going to make a bowl. LSU is going to make a bowl. Texas A&M is set to fire its coach, according to multiple reports, including the Houston Chronicle and Yahoo. And UAB is not in the Power Five. That is not necessarily like a murderer's row of teams that they've played in Ben O. Griffin. And look, not that Florida State is good, because they're not. But I think Florida State is better than almost all those teams, with the exception of LSU.
Tough to argue otherwise. Look, whenever anybody has the type of year that Florida or Florida State's had, I think people maybe want to look deeper into the information that's there. And personally, it just looks like Florida's played a little lesser of an opponent. I've watched that game. I've watched many of Florida's games. You can't tell me that there's some great atmosphere that exists in Gainesville right now. It doesn't. There's a lot of the same dead energy that exists in Gainesville as it does in Tallahassee. So, yeah, are you going to get a lot of kids good efforts, and will there be an extra level of energy that exists because the familiarity that exists between the two rosters, certainly. But I don't think you're like walking into some kind of mad ambush or something like that come Saturday.
No, I would totally agree with that. I mean, assuming that this team is going to be prepared. We do have some fun stats here on the series. Ingram, did you know that Florida leads 34-25 all time?
I'm not sure I knew that was the exact record, but I knew they were somewhere around plus 8, plus 9 in the series.
Yeah. How about after desegregation?
Yeah, we had a talk here before the pod about the desegregation number in particular, and that's interesting. That's a little more telling, maybe a little bit more reflective of the modern game and where the two programs stand. But that's is that 25-23 to UF's advantage?
Yeah, so they hold an overwhelming two-game advantage since everyone was allowed to play. That, to me, is a little more telling of how this rivalry has gone. I don't particularly care what happened between like 1949 and 1969. That's not super relevant to my opinion of the series. Those are two good numbers. Florida State has won 6 of 7, including 4 in a row, but they have never won 5 in a row in this series. And Florida has actually done that 3 times, including one time they won 8 in a row, which is pretty ridiculous. So this would be a chance for Florida State to set a record-setting game if they're able to do that. And to do that, they're going to have to hit explosive plays for sure. Florida is fairly okay at like not allowing long methodical drives because they are very athletic, but they are not real disciplined on defense. Traditionally, Jimbo Fisher's offenses just absolutely kill Randy Shannon's mm-hmm. defenses. I mean, almost every time they played, Fisher just lights up the scoreboard. This is probably the worst Fisher offense in a while, so I don't know how much that's going to happen, but I do think schematically he has a pretty good advantage over Randy Shannon's defenses. And this is a young Florida defense that is not quite as talented as it used to be in the Muschamp era. And given that, and you have some issues here, and they oftentimes overrun plays. They're not real gap sound. And you have a lot of guys trying to play hero ball, which I know FSU fans are familiar with. And so they'll allow some long runs, and that's exactly what Florida State needs to do on offense and stick to the run. I know we talk about, hey, throwing on first down, take advantage of that stuff. And sure, some. But look, just pound Cam Akers, right? Go get the win in the swamp. Give Cam Akers 25 carries. Give Jacques Patrick 10 or Rasul, 10 and Patrick 5 or whatever. Just give the ball to your backs 40 times, and I really believe you'll get 200 yards out of it. 40 carries for the backs, I think you'll get 200 yards. I'm confident in that against this Florida defense. And that means you're controlling the ball most likely and that you're going to win the game. I think that's what they need to do here. Don't come out and try and chuck the ball over the yard.
It's interesting. I think that certainly is probably fairly close to what you're going to see. I almost wonder if you don't have too much confidence in a defense at that point. But Florida's offense is just flat garbage. I mean, it is.
It's bad.
It's the picture of ineptness, and if the defense can't have control over this game and be a key component to you winning the game, then yeah, you can't sit here and be scared about playing to a smaller game because of what your defense might do in the second half or later parts of critical moments where you've been so frequently victimized.
Here's some numbers from the blowout win over UAB in which they scored 36 points. You want to guess how many yards per play Florida had Before garbage time?
Is it north of 7?
No, it's significantly less.
Is it south of 5?
Yes.
Wow, okay.
4.4.
Damn.
The major thing in that game was that UAB's offense just laid an absolute egg, and Florida, by virtue of its defense, just repeatedly gave its offense just incredible field position. But Florida, their offense really wasn't that good in that game. I mean, Franks was 15 of 30? For a 152? Like that's, 5 yards an attempt? That's trash. Their rushing success rate was 43% against UAB, and UAB is not an amazing defense. And that's, yeah, man, I got to tell you, this Florida offense is hot garbage. I mean, they are, I think, 109th in efficiency and 106th in explosiveness. So slight advantage to explosiveness. But, man, yeah, they suck. If you lose to this Florida offense, well, I was going to say you should fire the defensive coordinator, but at the same time, that's probably already going to happen. They are kind of decent at finishing drives once they get down in the red zone, 65th, but not amazing at it. I'm just looking for anything remotely positive. They have some good young backs. I mean, P. Ryan is pretty talented. He's a guy who runs hard and he's big at 215 pounds. And Malik Davis certainly has some speed. Franks has a decent number of rushing yards this year. I think a lot of that came on that long run against Texas A&M.
Yeah.
They got the ball to Darius Lemons last week a lot. He was a kid out of off the Gulf Coast there they liked last year and were able to get him into school. Receiving wise, I mean, they don't have Callaway. I think they'll have Tyree Cleveland in this game, but when you're looking at guys who just aren't like big time threats. I mean, Brandon Powell, Tyree Cleveland. Is this the best defense Florida has seen this year outside of Georgia? I think LSU might be better. But other than that, I mean, this might be the third best defense Florida's seen. Or no, they played Michigan, excuse me, fourth. They really didn't do all that well in those games. I mean, they scored 17 points against Michigan. They scored 16 against LSU. They scored 7 against Georgia. I mean, they scored 17 against Texas A&M.
Yeah, probably maybe the best defensive line they've played.
I think so.
So
maybe Georgia, yeah, but yeah.
Georgia has some nice pieces, but I wouldn't. Certainly would trade what Georgia has in the middle of their defense, what Florida State has, but not sure I'd trade the front four. Well, look, I can't remember a game ever feeling like this, and that's a pretty incredible statement you just made, Ingram. It's not as though Florida State has too much history going 4-6 in a season either, but to have Florida have the year that they're having and Florida State mired in the mediocrity that they've kind of existed. So a long rambling way of just saying it's an odd situation. It's going to be an odd atmosphere. I referenced that earlier. Really, it just comes down to going in there and being able to execute and being able to focus on one final game and one final kind of large rivalry where you'll have real emotion and really interested to see like how much cohesion you have. We talked in the in previous games as to concern as to how much. You know, one part of the defense would interact with the other. And really, at this point, with as much change as certain, as much change as on the horizon, I'll just be really fascinated to see how the team works as a whole and what kind of the working dynamic is with one of the final games for a lot of these guys that will coach at Florida State.
100%, man. By the way, their defensive line, I think, is actually pretty solid. I mean, Jefferson's very good. They got some other nice pieces there. But here's something for you. Florida is 126 nationally in pace, so they play super slow.
There you go. There you go. Absolutely. We'll have time to
get off.
But
not to be outdone. Not to be outdone. Florida State's like, not so fast, my friend. 127th in pace are the Noles, which is why I feel like, given the complete lack of interest in speeding this game up, and this could be a two-hour game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not really, but it literally could be like a 3-minute or 3-hour on the nose game.
It could feel like one of the Greg Maddux games of the late 90s there, where
if you are an ESPN studio, you have got to be ready to roll at at 3 o'clock sharp, not 3:30. I mean, you may have to fill an entire 30 minutes airtime when this game ends in studio before the 3:30 game start for ESPN. I guess it's prediction time, man. It doesn't really feel like Florida State. Like it's does it? It doesn't have that feel.
Hell no, it doesn't feel that way. It feels. I mean, this is the strangest Florida State game I've I can remember. But again, like I said, it's not as though either of these programs have a whole lot of history of operating in the manner that they have this year. Personally, I think Florida State wins this game. I think it's kind of a low-scoring, ugly game. I think maybe you can score in the run game. Maybe you bust two long runs. I see something in my head, but something like 17-7.
I'm just going to go 20-10, but I like your 17-7 too, man. I mean, it sounds like we both like the under.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, just given the pace, I do too. Turnovers scare me a little bit there, but still, I mean, the pace, dude, it's so slow. Like, you only might get the ball 8 times each.
The old 2 possession per quarter. That's going to be a whole lot of fun to watch.
Yeah.
Hopefully we'll be able to talk about a Florida State victory. Hopefully we'll be able to maintain one of the streaks, one of the few streaks that Florida State had entering the year, and just want to thank everybody for the season that was and remind those that aren't going to Gainesville that may still be in Tallahassee, there'll be no better place to watch this game than the Madison Social of Centrale Township, and hope that they keep our sponsors in mind, and hopefully, Bud, we will be able to return with a victorious instant reaction podcast. So,
and other good games as well at that time, by the way. Like, that's something, don't forget. Like, you get to see Lamar Jackson play at noon, and you get to see Georgia Tech play at noon, and you get to see Ohio State Michigan at noon. So, and oh, you get to see Miami Pittsburgh play and maybe screw around at noon. Anyway, there's a lot of good football going on there at the end. I would highly advise you to go to Madison Social so that you can watch not only FSU's game, but also maybe a couple other games as well.
This concludes this episode of the Knollcast. Make sure to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Write us at thenollcast@gmail.com or tweet us at Knollcast. So I'm thinking a ugly 24-13 Knolls win. It ain't going to be pretty, but it'll get done. Today's date is November 22nd, 2017. For Ingram Smith and Bud Elliott, this is your producer, Judson Wright, wishing y'all a happy Thanksgiving.